August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use. Prepare for your autumn wardrobe and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now how I tell you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101. Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101, and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown. Happy Tuesday and happy good morning, good new week to all the bulls out there, and especially not the bears, because you're tuning in because you want to know the secret trading strategy is revealed. The number one rule to making sure you can profit in a crypto bull market. If that's the case, we are here to tell you from years of experience what that is. And it's coming up in the middle of the episode, and it's going to be a lot simpler than you think. So you're going to want to stick around. The number one rule. But before we get to that, we got to introduce Brendan. Brendan, welcome back to the show. We haven't seen you since this face ripper of last week happened. You can see on the screen here, we got the coin market cap 20, up 25% in 7 days. Bitcoin up 22. Ethereum kissing almost 30%. It's Brendan getting some thunderstorms out there down in South Florida. How you doing, my friend?
Dodging lightning once again. For all the Floridians out there, you know how it is. Little bit of a background joke for us, or an inside joke, because we were on one of these once before, TiVo, and lightning hit, knocked out the power, fried me, and I was out of commission. You know, I think that's happened twice now, but doing good, man. You're right. This is the one of the largest moves that we've seen in a long time. The crypto market, since we did this last Tuesday, on one of the most historic runs that we've seen, probably I would say the most historic recovery that we've seen, and definitely the most important recovery that we've seen since the bear market started. Now, we always like to say, you know, hey, we have this technical version that we do. This is where we go over the charts and the technicals on Thursdays. Tune in for that, guys. We have all sorts of other great content coming your way, including podcasts. But today we want to talk more about like the fundamentals of what's going on here and the catalysts and a lot of like the news related plays as well that's affecting the market. And so as we dive into that, again, I think this is going to be one of the more important one, TiVos, and helping people understand why this is happening, because I think that if you understand why this is happening, you can get a better understanding about, well, is this just a short little relief rally, or can this lead to something much more significant than that? And, you know, spoiler alert, you know, I'm in the camp of, I think that this can lead to something even more significant than what we've already seen, something more sustained. Doesn't mean we won't have pullbacks and stuff, but yeah, a lot of really good stuff to cover. It's going to be action-packed.
Yeah, it's just a good time to take inventory on what's going on. An absolute super fun week of price action. But as you can see here, at least on the coin market cap one, we're extremely greedy little piggies now. And you went from, you know, obviously last month and all summer, we were in either extreme fear or fear itself. And now just rocketing after, you know, an average of what, 25% to 30% moves on even the large caps is a special week of price action. So what's causing all that? We're going to break it all down. We haven't pulled this up in a while because it's just been, again, it was the wear you out phase. There wasn't much going on. But let's pull up the block, Brendan. Let us know where you want to go, because it's exciting to be back to see this type of action for the ETFs and get this data.
Yeah, well, scroll us down. It should be like two charts beneath this into the ETF flows. So one more down. And then we'll see here that you have the spot Bitcoin ETF flows on the left. And if you zoom us in there, maybe even to the last 12 to 3 months or so, then what we can see on that is that the ETF flows have skyrocketed here. I mean, they are up a tremendous amount here in recent days. And yeah, that's the guy right there. And if you zoom us into maybe the 12-month or the 3-month view, then you can see this thing really take off to some of the highest levels that we've seen this year, especially in the last 3 months. And one of the big things that I think we even highlighted on here, TiVo, maybe in the last month or so, is that you really started to see signs of seller exhaustion. We talked about that. We said that it looks like the bears are getting exhausted. It looks like you're seeing some seller exhaustion. And one of the ways that you could have seen that was through the ETF flows really starting to dry up from those big outflow days on both Bitcoin and Ethereum. And now what you've seen here is this is the highest level of inflows that we've seen on Bitcoin multiple different days in a row in the last 3 months, even in the last 6 months, really. This is some of the largest days that we've seen. And I think that that's significant. So not only are the Bitcoin ETF inflows looking impressive, the Ethereum ones are as well. And Ethereum, I think, is one of the big shining stories, because that remains to be one of the better performers, one of the key outperformers amongst not only all of crypto, but especially in that large cap space. You have Ethereum really, really performing quite well to the upside and kind of remaining that shining star. You know, when we reported on it about a week or two ago, Ethereum was up twice as much as Bitcoin was off the lows. And I think that that was something that a lot of people were excited to see because of all of the infrastructure that's been built. And it's something that we've been talking a lot about in the last month. I know I've gone on my little like side part rants about it, right? Where I've had to have you and Hunter and Bryce reel me back in talking about why I think, you know, Ethereum is at this huge, huge, maybe misunderstanding about where it should be priced, and how I don't believe a lot of the stuff that has happened has been priced in yet. And I think that there's a lot of potential, and that has not changed. I still think that's there. Now I think we're just starting to get a little bit of a game of catch up, where price is catching back up to what really has happened and the growth that we've seen. So yeah, I mean, beautiful chart here, completely parabolic, TiVo, 1800 to almost 2500 or 2500. Insane.
Yeah, it's been a fun week and a well-deserved week for, you know, the shakeout phase is when we're going down, and the wear out phase, which is basically all summer. But you're starting to see it with the price action, and it's much needed, because I think for a long time, especially this year, we've been reporting on all the fundamentals, and there's been, I won't say nothing but good news, but the majority has been fundamentally positive news. And then kind of all of a sudden, it felt like maybe in the beginning of this summer, everybody was kind of hanging their hat on the Clarity Act, and we covered that. And it wasn't going through where people were eyeing it up in August. And then, you know, that was kind of that last ditch of some people saying like, oh, we've lost all hope. And then that's how it works, right? When the majority will lose all hope, it's going to rip in your face on the way back, which is what we're seeing right now. And we'll cover that with your opinion at the end of the show of what we're seeing, you know, regulation wise and what could be causing this fundamentally.
Yeah.
But it's just the price action's too big to ignore. So let's bring up this this options surge that you're seeing. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount budget or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows, it uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, SCRIBE.how/crypto101.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're seeing surges everywhere, right? And I think that's the point that I want to hammer home here is that you're seeing a surge in price action. You're seeing a surge in shorts that are being liquidated. You're seeing a surge in ETF flows. You're seeing a surge, as we covered about 2 or so weeks ago, in hedge funds going net long on CME. You're seeing a surge here in options as well. So it's hard to view the crypto market here and try to say what is not surging, right? It's hard to find an area that is not surging at the moment. And this is just another example of that. So this highlights it really well. Call options on the largest Bitcoin ETF out there, the IBIT one from BlackRock, surged to 1.58 million contracts on last Wednesday, right? This is the largest daily volume record that we have, period. This is the largest daily volume that we have on record from this. And it's a wild thing to see. Now, one of the things that I would just, again, highlight this is, A, again, we're seeing everything surge. We're breaking records. We're seeing the highest stuff that we've seen in either multiple months or in this cycle or since the last bear market or something like this. It's the highest that we've seen, period. But I think the other thing that kind of stems out of this is that these are the kind of data points that you would expect to see at a market reversing event. Now, is the market reversal absolutely in? You know, it's obviously something that you can get an indication of either way. There's always the chance that it's not, right? But what I will say is that if I was looking for a market reversal, this is the kind of stuff that I would want to see, and this is the kind of stuff that I would expect to see. So we'll have to continue to watch here, obviously, as more data comes out. But I will say, if I was looking for a reversal, this is the stuff that I would expect to see, right? Breakthroughs of critical resistance levels, testing those prior highs, multi-month highs on ETF flows, the highest level that we've ever seen of options and call volumes. The list goes on, right? So I like this. I think that if you're looking for evidence that the bears are either crippling or, you know, just definitely on the weakening side of things, I think that this all really feeds into that argument. So, yeah, I mean, across the board here, we're hitting some big, big milestones for the crypto space. And it's not just the technicals breaking out. And that's, again, the big point here is that you're seeing stuff surge, whether it's hedge funds that are net long on CME, whether it's ETF inflows, whether it's options, whether it's price action, you know, whatever this may be. Everything's surging here. And again, that's something that you'd want to see. It's not just one area of the of the crypto space. It's not just one sector. It's not just one chart. It's not just Bitcoin. And again, yeah, really, really good stuff here if you're a crypto guy for the long term.
Yeah, it's once you get that momentum and like you're saying, everything is surging, it's the time where hopefully you put in your research and you allocated where you want to be in the market and decided what fundamental narratives you want to be a part of. This is a very exciting time when price action does start to get moving, and a way that you can leverage your a new tool to gather the knowledge of what's happening kind of week in and week out of the price action is a tool that you use and Bryce uses and our team uses. It's called Altcoin Alert. And if you're interested, you're somebody that's more of a trader, and you want to be in the mix every day and every week at a higher capacity to see the price action and maybe even know what might be some good moves for you to make before they happen at a larger scale, you might want to check out Altcoin Alert. Bryce is doing a webinar on it, completely free to check out and learn more. So check out that link below if you're somebody that is looking to get re-engaged in the crypto markets at a higher level and get some of the best tools in the marketplace to do so. Check out that link below. Bryce is going to teach you all about Altcoin Alert, completely free webinar. Check it out. I believe it's this week on Thursday, so you're not going to want to miss that. But if you clicked on the thumbnail and you're still here from the title, the number one rule to profit in this Bitcoin bull run, there is a secret to it. And that secret we're going to reveal right now. If you've listened to the show over the years, you've heard us talk about this, and it's called the 10 best days. Brendan, I know you know the 10 best days very well. And the summary of it is basically, specifically for Bitcoin, and that's where we come up with the term HODL. HODL is, you want to hold on, because with Bitcoin, you don't want to trade in and out, because the problem is if you miss the 10 best days, sometimes Bitcoin can even be a losing proposition if you miss the 10 best days. So the stats here are since 2014, the average of the 10 best days is 162%, And if you missed the 10 best days, your return would be minus 14%. So if you took the remaining 355 days and missed the 10 best days, you're sitting at the minus 14 there. So Brendan, it's just a reminder. It's this type of environment where, you know, we were here. We were doing, you know, at least one, if not two episodes a week of the Rundown, plus our interviews. We've been here through the entire bear market, and, you know, we've been doing our research and allocating to where we think we want to be for when the bull run comes back, because we obviously are all believers on this team. And we've talked about, for me, it was the reoccurring buys on Ethereum and Bitcoin, just forgetting about it all summer. For you, you're more technical, so you're kind of reading the charts and seeing, you know, strategy wise when it's time to get in and pounce. But no matter what your strategy is, at least for Bitcoin, this is a really good rule of thumb. And while we can't give personal financial advice to anybody, I know even you as a seasoned trader who loves to get in the charts, always has a stack of Bitcoin that you just don't touch. And So I think once the volatility, we kind of remind this on the way down, but you want to remind this on the way up as well. Like, don't think you're going to, you know, again, if you have strategies that you want to do, great. But I think for the average investor, it's especially a good time to remind them, like, hey, don't think you're going to sell out here and then buy back lower and then trade it higher and this and that. And, you know, the fees and the taxes, it's a tough game. You got to be a true professional to do that. And I know we know some of those. I think you're a true professional yourself, but I want to hammer home the 10 best days, which is what we're doing. So any thoughts on this?
No, I was going to say, you're right. I have my fair share of Bitcoin that just sits there idle, right? I don't touch it. It sits there. It's long term. I don't trade with it. That's like in its own portfolio. And I'm a big believer of that. You know, someone who does love to trade, right? But, you know, this chart speaks for itself, right? If you miss those 10 best days, it can be crippling. A lot of the time you see these 10 best days happen around the time of the reversal. I know we've seen some of those big reversal candles before. I remember the ones from like the 2018 crash and after that. And then after the 2022 crash, you had these massive up days. So really good point, Steve-O.
Awesome. And one final thing, you know, I'm a meme guy. I titled this The Lazarus Project. I was watching Interstellar on a flight this weekend. The Lazarus Project is the raising the astronauts that put themselves to sleep. They get raised from their sleep, which is basically raising them from the dead. And Bitcoin survives another funeral. 2026, put it on the tombstone. The Lazarus Project keeps coming back as Bitcoin soars higher, but not the only one soaring higher, not to be done by Ethereum. And obviously, you know, Tom Lee, friend of the show, we've covered it on the way down. Absolute diamond hands, just kept buying, kept staking. And BitMine, obviously, you know, looking good right now, looking like it has some momentum. And they put out this stat on Ethereum that I thought was interesting. So ETH gained 30% this past week. That's the largest weekly gain since May of 2025. Then there was another one in July of 21. In those two precedent instances, this weekly gain of 30 plus signaled a launch point for a larger move in ETH. In 2021, ETH subsequently gained 167%, and after May of 25, it gained 170%. So again, this is part of the research. This is not a guarantee by any means, but sometimes history doesn't always repeat. Sometimes it rhymes. We'll have to see. But again, Bitcoin isn't the only one that's moving. Ethereum, you could even say maybe even had a little bit more momentum last week, being up 30%. So are you keeping an eye on ETH? I know you're me and you, huge bulls. You know, we've been kind of, I have always said on the show is like, hey, I love the clip of Tom Lee talking about Bitcoin at 5K and he got laughed out of the room on live on air. You know, he's been very, very bullish and just all in really on Ethereum. And so, you know, I think it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, 100%. I think you have to be paying attention to ETH here. Huge fan of it, right? I trade it and I own it for my long term. So, you know, full disclosure. But yeah, I mean, how can you not like ETH here? There's so much going on over there. Yeah, and I think it's going to be a continuing talking point here for the next, at least the next couple months, ideally the next couple of years, right? I think ETH's just going to remain as a big player in the picture. It has been for a long time. I don't see it going anywhere. You know, I'm not a maxi, right? I like Bitcoin. I like ETH.
For sure.
I like a lot of altcoins too. You know, we're not maxis over here, but I do think ETH is a big part of the future.
Yeah, and the thesis that I like is, you know, everything, you know, especially crypto being in its own bear market while we watch the AI trade rocket, was the thesis is that, hey, crypto is downstream of AI. And I think, you know, Ethereum, for the big bulls that believe in it, believe that, you know, Ethereum is can and will be a huge part of the financial system in the AI world. And so I heard this, and I really like it, is like starting to think of, like, we need to start thinking of banks as software companies. Like, how are we going to be interacting in the future in our banking world as everything moves online? You know, traditionally, yeah, 50 years ago, a bank truly was, you had to go, we're going to the bank, we're depositing money at the bank, we're withdrawing money at the bank, we have our safety deposit box at the bank. It was a physical place. And now, you know, slowly, but now all of a sudden, super fast, everything's going online. And so what are these banks going to be? They're got to basically reinvent themselves as software companies. And whoever wins that race will be the top dog. And so, you know, maybe there could be a changing of the guard. That's kind of what you see, maybe at least with Robinhood in the financial space, of kind of, you know, being something that you know, people thought was gambling in a casino. And, you know, you can make that argument for sure, but now look at it. It has, you know, wealth advisors and 401ks and IRAs, and now the banking and credit cards. It's really interesting to keep watching. And another one, Webull, kind of a younger, newer, for people to use for investing. So they had their CEO on TV, and I thought this was an interesting talking point. So we'll listen to the Webull CEO and break it down
in
the back end.
In terms of crypto, you've got the SEC proposing new rules. The future of Clarity Act kind of remains in the balance. How are you thinking through all of this as it pertains to just your platform and your customers?
So the average customer on Webull is about 34 years old. So crypto is no different in most of our clients' minds from buying a share of Apple, right? It's very similar. It's an asset class. They look at it as similar to owning an equity. So the removal of, or excuse me, not going back to PDT, but the adoption of broader regulation around crypto is putting a lot of positive momentum. We also saw the increased purchase operations with treasuries about 2 weeks ago. That really sparked a nice rally in Bitcoin. And we're seeing over the past week and a half, we're seeing almost a 300% increase in buy side orders for the big cryptos, Bitcoin and ETH.
300% increase. It just confirms, the data is showing people are starting to chase. This is a tale as old as time. And it doesn't matter, Brendan, whether it's crypto or AI or oil stocks or airline stock, anything that starts to run, when you see that 10, 20, 30% in a week, I mean, again, the average gains for, that's more than average gains for a year you can get in a week if you time it right. It's not easy to time and bottom tick. We all know that. But nonetheless, when you see the price action on that, everybody just sees it on their screens and they're like, I got to be in this. And so we're starting to see the chasing. You pulled up this data here. So, you know, I know it goes with that. That's why I placed it under the video. So break it down for us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think people are starting to chase a little bit here. And what we're seeing is kind of the recovery across the board. I do think, like, a lot of, not only have cryptocurrencies been discounted, right, because of the underperformance, but I think even crypto-related projects or companies or whatever, right, anything related to the crypto space has been very heavily discounted because of a lot of the bad news and the FUD that we've seen, right? That fear, that uncertainty, that doubt, the Clarity Act's not getting passed, that's getting pushed back, crypto volumes have fallen, crypto activity has fallen, a lot of crypto-related activities were on the decline, there's these big liquidations. It was just one thing after another. And now what you're seeing is the opposite of that, right? Volumes are coming back. Activity's coming back. We're breaking records, seeing big inflows. You know, they just talked about it over there with Webull, a 300% increase. So I think a lot of people look at this and they have been, I would say the average person or institution has been pricing in the idea that that will continue and that, you know, there's just these short little stints to the upside that we get. I think if we continue to hold and even move further to the upside, I think people have to start pricing in the fact that there is a lot of increase in terms of, again, you know, volumes, metrics, data. And you have to start pricing that in somehow. And I still don't think that it fully is. We've seen a nice bounce here, but I think that if you are going to start pricing that back in, then what you have to look at is, let's use Coinbase, for example, or Robinhood, right? Big supporters of the crypto space, which is why we love them. We've had both of them on the podcast and a handful of others too. But, you know, basically, like, they've expanded a lot. If you're going to say, oh, well, we just have to compare to where they were last cycle, it's like, no, look at how much they've added since then, right? Not only new projects, but new features and a whole lot of other things. And so I think that you have to start pricing that in somehow. And I think that the average person, again, just is not prepared for how much the crypto space has grown. And I would say a lot of people are just looking to price it or base it off of what they saw a couple of years ago, when I just don't think it's the correct way to go about it. So, yeah, you know, I would be interested to see, and I don't want to tie us too deep into the traditional financial stuff, but I would be really interested to see what's going to happen with some of these companies and what their earnings calls are going to look like next quarter, right? Let's look at Bitmain and some of these treasury companies that have been buying every single day, right? We talked about Bitmain versus Strategy, right? Bitmain been buying every day. You haven't seen that from Strategy. So I'd be curious to see, what is Bitmain's next earnings call going to look like? Because they've been buying this dip just about every single day in this bear market. What's it going to look like for Coinbase? You know, are they seeing a 300% increase? Because if so, that's a big deal. What's it going to look like for Robinhood and their, you know, huge crypto sector? Even some of these banks, like, or neobanks like SoFi, they have crypto-related trading. I think that the average person probably just isn't even thinking about that yet. And if we get that kind of wake-up call when that information does come out, which, again, we just don't know right now. We're assuming it's going to be higher. But I think that if we get that wake-up call and you're saying, oh, the banks are seeing a 100% or 200% increase in crypto trading, the exchanges are seeing a 100 to 200 to 300% increase in crypto-related activity, you know, these other things, right? Different DeFi activity, that's all increasing. Then I think that there is just a lot of fuel for the fire. And that fuel is information that we don't fully have yet, but we're speculating based off of some of the stuff like this. So anyway, long way to answer the question, TiVo, but if you can't tell, I'm excited. I think that there are plenty of other things and catalysts out there that could continue to fuel this. Now, it doesn't mean that I think we're going to go up in a straight line like we have the last week or so. We're going to pull back. We're going to consolidate. Stuff like that's going to happen at some point. You know, whether it's today, tomorrow, a month, doesn't matter. But, you know, at some point we're going to do that. My stance is, guys, I'm optimistic about this. I'm excited. I'm excited too. So I think if this maintains or even keeps going, there's a lot of other things to really factor in. So we'll see, right? Fingers crossed, knock on wood.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to give Saylor his shout out. He's doing his financial alchemy and they're back in profit. So, you know, everybody likes to throw stones when they're in the negative, and maybe rightfully so, but you got to give them the update when, you know, MicroStrategy's back in profit. And I think I saw, again, we've talked about on the show, as you know, we're not the financial alchemist that he is, but you know, apparently he's reporting that they're at 0% net leverage as of yesterday, which, you know, who knows what that means with all those different preferred stocks and whatnot. And then I believe Bitmain is not in profit yet. I was trying to find that stat. I couldn't quite find it, but definitely some big moves over the weekend. So I think, you know, Tom Lee on his way to profitability, we all hope, because that means ETH is going up. Just to finish us out, we haven't had you on since last week. So, you know, we talked about it with Brian. What was the catalyst of this? We talked about the record shorts liquidation. But yeah, any points that you wanted to lead us home with of what's causing all this? What are you seeing? Of whether it's the fundamentals, the price action, or the news flow, we can end it on your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think it comes down to four primary catalysts. And again, you know, we'll go over this very quickly because I think you're right. You know, we have covered this, but the four catalysts that I've seen here is, number one, you have that White House crypto summit that we had last week, and it signals some really strong government support for the whole crypto industry. That's a positive sign. The news that we got out of that, from whether it was the government, whether it was from Coinbase, whether it was from Robinhood, a lot of them did press releases after this event. And it was really positive. There was positive stuff about the Clarity Act. There was positive information in regards to future regulation, positive stuff that came out for tokenization, positive stuff that came out for general infrastructure as well. I would even say to the Bitcoin Treasury, right? They were open to the idea about adding, increasing the Bitcoin reserve. There was a ton of good stuff that came out. The markets loved that meeting. And I think the results were really positive. The other thing that we saw, in the last week or two was some of the Treasury coming out and talking about essentially, you know, buying back some of those long dated bonds. And applying some pressure there and applying some money. And the markets really, really like that. I think that that was a big deal here, was the Treasury coming out and saying that, hey, we're going to be doubling the size of certain buybacks of some of these long-dated Treasuries. The market really, really liked that. The crypto space did. And I think that that was a whole nother big one. The other one here kind of ties into both of these points, mainly the first point, but it was just this idea of the Clarity Act seems to be getting a big increase in attention. And so does crypto as a whole. You know, prior to this, there was different things that I think the government was prioritizing, right? Whether it was trade war stuff, whether it was geopolitical tensions and the stuff that's happening in the Middle East. And there's all this stuff happening. And crypto kind of felt like it got pushed to the back burner. Now it feels like there's a lot of intentionality to really start targeting and helping and improving the crypto market again. And with that, you know, one of the things that we got out of the last meeting was Coinbase's CEO, Brian Armstrong, saying that he is pretty certain that the Clarity Act can get passed before the year's end. And he said both sides have about 90% of what they want. And there's about 10% of uncertainty. But one of the things he said is that you rarely get both sides getting 90% of what they want. So he's confident that they can get the 60 required votes that they needed, or the 60. Yeah, I think it's like about 60 votes that they need to get this thing passed. So he's like, we're pretty optimistic on this. Everyone seems to have most of the stuff that they want. I wouldn't count this thing out. So when you see an increased attention and just an increased effort to really push the crypto space forward, and then you hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, well, hope's coming back here a little bit. And then they're seeing some of the other stuff that's been talked about and alluded to. And then the final thing here is, following, you know, all of this, you have a big increase in price. And with that, you had this gigantic liquidation event, like a really, really big liquidation event. And so this was, you know, one of the largest liquidation events that we have seen in the last year. I believe it was the largest liquidation event that we've seen since the October 10th crash of last year. Except the only difference this time around is that instead of longs getting liquidated, it was shorts. I saw something like it was the seventh largest liquidation event on record. Again, this time, the shorts are the ones getting destroyed. So you had a massive destruction of the shorts, which is very important because you've seen these same short sellers taking every little move up that Bitcoin's had. You had them shorting it down, taking profits, letting it bounce, shorting it again and again and again, and continually making profits. Now what you saw was just a wipeout happen of these people who are continuing to short. They're wiped out, their funds are gone, and that's something that really, really did need to happen. So four big catalysts here to ride off of. Definitely going to have to keep an eye on this, but all positive stuff, TiVo.
It's all positive stuff. It's all positive price action this last week. So all the more reason to check out the links below, get more involved, sign up for the Altcoin Alert webinar this week, and also check out the other links so you can be inside the community, get more access to Bryce, Brendan, the whole entire team. It's going to be a fun fall, we think, and we're going to do it all together. And if you're new here, bottom right, hit the logo, subscribe, give this video a like. We really appreciate you guys tuning in here on Tuesday. And we'll be back with content every day if you're inside the community. And if you're just on YouTube and the podcast, keep a lookout for some more great interviews from Bryce and Brendan. And we'll see you all in the rundown on Friday. But that's all for now. Goodbye, everybody.